Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent, documentary, and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Brimming with emotional undercurrents, a revolution on campus follows Sarah Nujumi as she traces a timeline of events discovering her father's ongoing activism, that would be Nikzad Nujumi, his complicated relationship with her mother, artist Naeed Hajigat, and how the implications of his incendiary art impacted the trajectory of their family's future together. The film is called A Revolution on Campus, and we're joined today by the co-directors of the film, and that would be Sarah Nujumi and Till Schauder. To both of you, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Let me start by congratulating you both on your ability to bring out the power in the relationships in the film. Sarah, you and your father's relationship, Nikzad's, the relationship with you and your mother, the relationship between your mom and your dad, and also about the power of art, not only the power of your father's art, but your mother's art as well, and the impact that his art had on your family and on the politics surrounding the Iranian Revolution. There's so much here to talk about, but let's begin with what inspired you to make this film in the first place.
Well, as all movies, this was, as especially documentaries, this was a bit of an evolution. we didn't set out with exactly this idea when we started. You know, I had it in my mind for years because the story of the exhibition loomed so large in our family's life. Every time my father met somebody, he talked about that story. He told them about that work that's still there. And all of his other stories, I thought would make for an interesting movie. And most of all, I thought his work and my mother's work were very cinematic. And I thought it would be wonderful to get their work on a big screen. But of course, you have to have a story. And as Till and I were married and also have made other films together, and along the way, we've talked about it a lot. And at some point, it became clear that the exhibition would kind of be the narrative spine of the film. And that helped us kind of move forward.
Well, in terms of the participation of your dad, Nikzad, was he reticent? Was he welcoming? He seems like a fairly reserved man. Certainly not. He certainly keeps a lot of things, it feels like, close to the vest. What was that like, kind of opening up this idea to him about doing this?
Well, I mean, I'll move on to the first question. Why did it get so personal? My sense was over these years that Sarah and I talked about the idea of making the film that she always had a desire to make it personal, but she couldn't quite vocalize that even to herself. That is my interpretation of it. And for me, I wouldn't say interesting, but it didn't appeal to me to help her make a film about her parents' personal story, the art, without some sort of action line that could appeal to anybody who's not Iranian or who's not necessarily interested in the arts. So it wasn't until we had this idea to really have the investigation be the driver of the story that I was actually sort of confident that all the personal stuff would work, right? Once we had that, then I was all encouraged and thought, okay, great, now we can bring in all this other stuff, the history, the politics, the art itself, of course, which is so important, and the personal stuff. So that's that. And in terms of Nikki and his reticence, so it was funny because over the years when we were sort of stalling or not getting our act together with this movie, he was approached by other filmmakers who wanted to make a film about him. And he would always say, he would always sort of reject their advances and say, no, my daughter and son-in-law, they're going to do this eventually, right? And so the pressure sort of kept building. So he was generally open to the idea, and I think wanted us to make the film, but we didn't necessarily start with the hardball questions, the personal stuff. Let's be completely honest. The very, very first shoot, we did exactly that. We went right into the hardball questions, the very emotional stuff. And then the next, and this was like a dinner here at our house where both Nahid and Nikki were here. And right away, there was some aunt involved. Right away, these very personal questions came up. And the very next morning, we get a phone call from Nikki, and he's like, guys, if this is how it's going to go, I'm out. And then 5 minutes later, Nahid calls, and she's basically said, guys, if this is how it's going to go, I'm out. So we realized, okay, we have to really pare this back and start with the mechanics of the movie and start with the non-controversial stuff. Let's talk about the art. Let's talk about the history. Let's talk about your personal timeline. Let's not necessarily go into the whole emotional stuff first, right? And so it wasn't until about a year into the production that we got into the more emotional things. We really learned our lesson from that disastrous first day of shooting.
I would say he is very personal. He is very reserved, as are most people. You know, you're not going to want to give it all up to your child, who's then going to put it all on the big screen. And he said to me later, like, you know, in the film, you're asking me questions that I feel like the answers are obvious to you. Like, why are you asking me those questions? You know, so he did his best in his way to both answer the questions and dodge the questions. he really did his best.
Well, this is a good point to revisit the spine of the story, which is your father's art. And as I mentioned, the impact that it had in real time in the politics around the Iranian Revolution. But I also want to talk about your mom's work, Nahid, and it's in its way powerful as well, beautiful to look at. There's so much here to talk about in terms of the influence of art and the importance of art. But also, let's talk about why it created your father's artwork created such a stir. What was it about what he was doing that managed to rile the powers that be?
I think because he is an equal opportunity offender, it lands both positively and negatively on all sides. Like, he is basically constantly criticizing authority, power brokers. So it doesn't matter whether they're in Iran or the US, because we have, you know, corruption in authority here in America as well. So that's his basic, you know, that's where he's coming at his work. But he tries to not make it so obvious in the work with a lot of symbolism.
The political content of his work is often what strikes people first. But to be honest, my very first experience with him, when I met Sarah over 20 years ago, and I met Nikki, he gave me a very small painting, maybe 20 by 30. And I was just, as a filmmaker, I was just struck by the cinematic quality of it. It was a very simple, evocative scene, just of two men standing somewhere in the background and engaged in some sort of conversation. There was nothing political about it at all. It was just a moment, and the way that he evoked that moment was just beautiful. And so to me, it always does him a disservice to only talk about the politics, because he, as an artist, he's so incredibly talented. And I hope that the film shows that, you know, just his skill as a painter, as a storyteller, as somebody who evokes mood, is, you know, I'm not the art critic par excellence or anything like that, but I don't see that in too many, especially contemporary artists, you know, where it's very clear that there is a high level of just artistry and talent involved, and that also this the continuous output that he puts forward. So that's what struck me first, is just the raw talent. And then when you go into the content of it and you see the harsh criticism and the unflinching commentary where he becomes even more interesting, you know. Yeah. But even if he wasn't painting anything political, he would still be an outstanding artist.
Yep. Yeah, if I might just weigh in, because I was not familiar with his work watching it in the film. What struck me is how the imagery in his paintings is familiar, but then at the same time, it's unfamiliar because he juxtaposes things. He puts things in it that you're just kind of jarring enough for you to want to kind of explore it in your own mind as to what is this? It's familiar, but it's not. And then along the way, you get to have this opportunity to spend more time looking at it. I think it's imperative to look at it for maybe longer than you might have imagined you would look at it, so-called regular painting. I think that's, for me, what draws me in. He puts things in these paintings that are just off enough to where it kind of forces you to examine it more closely. I don't know if that's a fair way to put it or not.
That's exactly what his intention is with the work. Is there's a tiny level of absurdity, but it also feels real. He wants you to bring what you feel to the painting. He doesn't want to tell it. He often doesn't want to talk about what his paintings are about. And that's why the scenes with our kids is very special in the film, because he does talk about what the paintings are about.
Yes. He does.
With the grandkids.
And with the grandkids, he does it in very simplistic ways where everybody, they get it, and everybody's like, aha, yeah, I get it, okay.
And I thought that was especially true for the picture that he painted. It got him into so much trouble, in fact, that he had to fear for his life. That was a very powerful explanation as to what that picture was about. And I just want to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Sarah Najumi and Till Schrauder. They are the co-directors of a terrific documentary film, A Revolution on Canvas. And one of the most interesting storylines in A Revolution on Canvas has to do with the paintings that were scheduled to be presented at the Tehran Museum of Contemporary Art. And all of that got thrown aside because many of the paintings, and one in particular, upset the new regime in Tehran, which caused a lot of upheaval, including the fact that Nikki then was forced to leave the country that he grew up in and he loved. And subsequent to all of that is the idea that these paintings may have been destroyed, lost, stolen, sold. We don't know what happens, and that becomes an important part of the telling of the story, this finding out what happened to the paintings. Were they still at the museum? What happened to them? And that is a terrific aspect to the telling of Nikki's story, your family's story. Let's dive into that a little bit.
I think the spark was, because for decades, the assumption was always that exhibition was pretty much destroyed, right? And at some point, he got information from inside Iran that it isn't actually all destroyed. There's a chance that some of it might still have survived somewhere in this museum, probably in the basement, right? And once he had that little bit of information, we thought, okay, this is a starting point. Let's go after this kernel of information and see if we can get somewhere and get this work back, right? And so then he started trying sort of the official routes, just, you know, with lawyers and such, and that didn't really go anywhere. And then finally he hooked up with this art book publisher, Bahmanpour in Tehran, who said, I want to help you get this work back. I'm here on the ground, I can go there and see what I can achieve, right? But it wasn't so simple, because just trying that is connected to a level of risk, right? And then we, to tell the story, we wanted to have a way to document it. That wasn't easy, because we couldn't just hire a crew or go. We also couldn't go ourselves because of our previous films, which basically landed us on a blacklist. So that was complicated, right? But these were all things that we could figure out, and it was enough for us to have this thrust of an investigative story. to start.
And Sarah, this Tehran Museum of Contemporary Art is its own documentary unto itself. It houses some of the most incredible art that I think exists in the entire world, but locked away in a basement or somewhere where no one will see it. Just an amazing collection of art. Let's talk about that part of it. Not only are Nikki's paintings there, but also let's talk about the other work that's there as well.
Yeah, it's a remarkable collection. Something like $3 billion worth of Western art. I mean, of course, they have a collection of Iranian art also, but when the museum was built, the previous regime, the Shah's wife, the queen, the king's wife, the queen, was the sole main collector. I mean, she had advisors, but she was the main collector. And she went to all these museums in America and visited with artists. She was a big supporter of the arts. And a lot of people credit her with really supporting the arts in a way that, let's say, others had never done in Iran. But she was a supporter more of Western art. Yeah. So therein lies the problem. But the collection is huge. There is another documentary about the museum itself that we have clips of in our film. And that's called The Treasure Cave. There's tons of articles. It's like every few years that museum and its collection is in the news. It's a storied basement.
Yeah, well, we see a Pollock, we see a bunch of Warhols, some really remarkable. I don't think I've ever seen the Warhols I've seen in the film. So
one of the most expensive collections of art that never gets shown since 40 years since the revolution. But it also doesn't get destroyed, or obviously, because they realize this is a value, this is an asset. It's like having gold in your
basement.
They
take care of it. They take care of that collection.
And so I think there have been very limited exhibitions of it, actually. Like just a few years ago, they showed a little bit of it, like a little small portion. And I've also heard that there are selling some of it on occasion because they need money, right? It's valuable that, you know, they obviously understand what they have there. And as Sarah said, the basement itself is kind of a legendary place and in a character in our film.
It is a character. And there are so many characters involved in this part of the film. The one that sat for the interview that couldn't remember anything, that gentleman, that was quite a revelatory part of the film for me, which I understand. I understand why or why not he would want to say anything to this particular matter. But
there are just so many things about this film that will draw you in, and not the least of which is your family. We haven't talked enough about your mom, Naeed Hajigat, and her work. She is a remarkable artist and one that deserves her own shows. And Sarah, let's talk about your mom and her work.
She was really a pioneer in this idea of putting the women's figure on canvas, and also a pioneer in printmaking, because she came to the U.S. and studied printmaking. And so her etchings, she was one of the first people to do etchings in Iran. And especially the type of work that she did. She also, you know, she's less political, but especially in those early etchings, there's a lot of societal
commentary.
Yeah.
You know, in that work. But again, in her case, like in my father's case, it's the artistry. Even if she took all the ideas out of it, you would still be in awe of the paintbrush. Like what she's capable of doing with the paintbrush. Same with mine.
Add one thing to the Naeed thing. I'm glad you brought her up, and it's so important that we speak about her, because one of my personal favorite themes of the film is this idea of there's behind every great man an even greater woman. And this comes through basically from Nikki himself. Every time we ask him about the two of them as artists, he would very readily say she's actually more talented. For example, we learned that We always thought that he got this very prestigious scholarship to go to the École des Beaux-Arts in Paris, which was at the time, you know, sort of the big ticket to win as an artist. And it's only in the interviews that we learned that actually she got the scholarship first, but didn't want to go, so they sent him instead, right? And he will say, if you look at our strokes and other, you know, our pencil strokes, you'll see she's actually the better artist. So it's very important to talk about her, and I'm so happy that a lot of people pick up on the fact that she kind of steals the show.
Thank you for that. The film is, again, a revolution on canvas, and we've been joined today by the co-directors of this wonderful film, again coming out on HBO on March 5th. So be looking for it, and that would be Sarah Najumi and Till Schauder. To both of you, thank you so very much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.